words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart always be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. God's grace be with you tonight from Jesus Christ. Thank you. Tonight we're looking at one of the seven last words of Christ. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Let's read that in context. Luke chapter 23, beginning verse 26. And as they led him away, they seized one Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. And there followed him a great multitude of the people, and of women who bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never gave suck. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do this when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry? Two others also, who were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place which is called the skull, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on the right and one on the left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. They know not what they are doing. Father, forgive them. Never since the history of the world began has the world seen such love as this. This is amazing love. Amen? This morning, I went to the doctors. I happened to have had a thorn in my side, in my flesh, if you will. And it turned into a blood blister. This was some months ago. And today, recently, it's been growing again. So I went to the doctor, and he gave me a little needle. And it's the funny thing about doctors, isn't it? Everything's a little. There's a little weight, and then you're led to a little room, and then there's going to be a little pinch, right? Well, it's always a little more than they say. But the first one was the one just to dull it. That was really the painful one. Although, I was all right with it, but still, it was not pleasant. And then they stuck me about four times to try to get the blood out. It kept filling up, and we'll see what happens in the next week. But we're putting these words of Jesus in context. I received that. It was kind of painful. With a little tiny needle, with anesthesia and painkiller medication on it, with doctors who are there for my benefit, or a doctor and nurses, okay? Jesus suffered, as it says here, look at this picture of those spikes driven into his hands without anesthesia, without painkillers. He was pierced for our transgressions. And over here, the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. I mean, he was led away by people who were mocking him, spitting at him, cursing him, though he'd done nothing wrong. And the pain was excruciating beyond anything anybody has ever seen before. And he did it all for our salvation, our forgiveness, our redemption. And so, this puts it into context. Never before has the world ever seen such love as this, that while they're doing this to him, and the pain is excruciatingly lightning like electricity through his body, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Have you ever seen such love as that? This is amazing, amazing, amazing love. Never has the world seen it before. From the history of time began to that moment. But I also say, I think it's seen him since. Seen that since. I'll share that in a moment. Let's consider what Jesus died for when he was calling out, Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they are doing. What was Jesus dying for when he said, Forgive them for? Forgive them for their pride. He's dying for all of our sins. For sins of omission and commission. For betraying him, betrayal. For swearing. For idolatry, for sins committed wittingly and unwittingly, for being nasty, for lust, for murder, for unbelief, for being mean to one another, for lying, cheating, for coveting, for worldly ambition, for uncaring, for seeking self-glory and self-ambition over one's neighbor, for stealing, for harming, for anger, for adultery, for sexual immorality, for dishonoring parents, for taking the Lord's name in vain, for ignorance. Think of the list that could be written for you. Jesus cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." This is what Jesus came to erase. And never before has the world, since the history of this creation began to that moment, never has the world seen such love as that. But it has seen that kind of love since then. Maybe not to that extreme, perfect, ultimate scale, but it has seen that. When I went to college, I was in Lafayette College in Pennsylvania, and there was a man who came to the library. At the time, I thought he was ancient. He was like 50 years old. And this man was in there doing research, and he wasn't a student. He was just reading research, but he poured over his Bible and poured over his Bible and poured over it, every word, and he was just into that. And he loved talking to me. I was the only one who he thought would listen to Scripture. He thought everybody else was nut. At any rate, but he was in the Spirit. He was praising the Lord and everything. And then I went away. I graduated. I came back a year or two later, and I actually met him. And he was at the library again. And I said, "Hey, how are you doing?" And he said, "Greg, the most amazing thing has happened to me. I was down in Easton in the city at night the other week, and two men came up to me and mugged me. They took my wallet, and after taking my wallet, they beat me, and they put me on the ground, and they are beating me, and the most amazing thing happened. I was covered in compassion, and I spoke up to them, 'I forgive you, I forgive you.'" What an amazing thing. The world has never before seen such love as Jesus saw, until from the day it began till that day, but it has seen that kind of love since. In the hearts of people in whom Christ is living, he continues to forgive. We saw this at the very first instance after Jesus in Acts chapter 17. It says of Stephen, the first martyr, "When they heard these things," what Stephen was saying, "they were enraged. They ground their teeth against him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God." Jesus actually got up. Remember, he was sitting at the right hand. He's actually standing up to receive the first martyr. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together upon him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul, Paul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Never before in the history of the world had we ever seen such love as we saw in Jesus, but we've seen it since in the hearts of people in whom Christ is living. Can this happen for you? Can this kind of love be inside you tonight? Is there some sort of unforgiveness somewhere in you? You've all been hurt, I know that. There are people who've wronged you, people you've wronged. Who are those people that need forgiving in your past? What are their names? What are their faces? You know who they are. Father, a mother, child, friend, enemy. Who are they? You got to find it out. You got to participate in the sermon. Who are they? God wants to put in us that same heart that he had, that amazing love. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. This can happen for you and set you free. For unforgiveness always binds and destroys your heart. But when you forgive from the heart, you are set free. And you reflect this amazing, and you embody and live this amazing love of God. So let's talk a little bit then about Jesus' love. This amazing love that he had and what it was like so that we might take heart in our forgiveness. Well, first of all, when Jesus cried out, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." Did they know what they were doing? Well, yeah. They knew that they were crucifying this man. They were spitting at him. They were mocking him. The rulers knew what they were doing. They were jealous of this guy, of this rabbi, this teacher, this miracle worker. Ah, you saved others. Save yourself. They knew what they were doing. They were quite wittingly committing this sin, knowingly committing it. And yet, they also, according to Jesus, didn't know what they were doing. They consciously knew what they were about, but they were ignorant of the truth, of what was really going on and who they're really crucifying there. And the thunder rolled. That's why I'm not moving around a lot in the sermon. Could this be God speaking to you, saying, these people, whoever they are, have wronged you, and yet you could say to them, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Sure, they're evil. Sure, they meant to harm you. Sure, they've done wrong, but they are ignorant of the truth. They don't understand really what they're doing. For if they were and did, they wouldn't be doing what they're doing. In Acts chapter 13, Peter says, now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of the prophets, all the prophets, that the Christ should suffer, he thus fulfilled. So think about that. These people don't know what they're doing. Forgive them. Forgive them. Another thing is Jesus knew his destiny. Way back here in Acts chapter 53, verse 12. This is the chapter that talks about Christ's death in extreme detail. What he'd do for us in extreme detail 8 centuries beforehand. And it was prophesied of him, but he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Remember, a criminal on either side, numbered with him. Yet he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Intercession, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. And he was destined for this. That's what he came to do, is to forgive sins, to redeem the world. And you know what? You also are destined to forgive people. This is what God has created you for. Remember our sermon last Sunday? That God has predestined you to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. This is what he's doing in you. And what does Jesus Christ do? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. This is your destiny. You know, you see all these shows on TV, you know, like Highlander, I'm destined to bear the sword against the beast, or I'm destined to do this, and it sounds so cool. That's all myth. That's all fallacy and fantasy. But this is the truth. You are destined to be forgiving people. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also forgive. Then also, excuse me, there we go. This is not something you can do of yourself. This is something that God works in you. Remember the man from Lafayette I told you about that was on the street, and he said, Greg, the most amazing thing that's happened to me is I was mugged, and I was flooded and bathed in compassion and forgiveness for these people. This is not something you can do of yourself. This is something that God works in you to change you. Remember Khrushchev of the Russians? He said, there is much in Christ that is in common with us communists, but I cannot agree with turn the other cheek. I believe in another principle. If I am hit on the left cheek, I hit back on the right so hard that their head might fall off. Isn't this the way the world works? This is their principle. They can't get this. Why couldn't Khrushchev forgive? Because he wasn't born again. He didn't know Christ. He didn't have Christ living in him. But you have Christ living in you to forgive people from the heart. And how did Christ forgive us? All these things. He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing, while they're putting these spikes in his hands, while they're hanging upon him on a cross, while they're spitting upon him. In other words, Christ didn't forgive us and pray for their forgiveness because they were doing works, or because they were seeking to make amends with him, or seeking to set right their life. He forgave us all before we did any of that. Isn't that a great word for you tonight? Christ forgives you freely apart from any works or any efforts or anything you do. Christ prays for your forgiveness and desires it. And so also, this is the way God wants with us and each other. Who is that person? Who's that mean person? Who's that person you have who's harmed you? Father? Mother? Brother? Sister? Friend? Enemy? Who is it? Who is that person? As Christ forgave you freely, apart from works, apart from their asking, they're living in ignorance, and to set your own heart free, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Person, whoever it is, I forgive you. You don't know what you're doing. And this is the amazing love of God that was never seen before in all the world, all the way through till those spikes were driven, until that baby was born in Bethlehem. And now this is to be seen all through the world, according to God, in His people, spreading this amazing love and forgiveness to one another. And what is it that transformed you that you can do this kind of thing? This is an unearthly, this is an otherworldly kind of heart. How do you get it? It's from God, and it comes through the gospel itself. Let's look at these again. Consider Christ prayed and died to forgive you. And this is your record before God, okay? And we all have one a whole lot worse than this. I forgive you your pride. I die to forgive you sins of omission and commission. For your swearing. And anybody swear? I was a former sailor, okay? I'm better now. But to forgive our swearing, to forgive our betrayal of Him and one another, to forgive your idolatry, for sins committed wittingly and unwittingly, to forgive your lust, to forgive your murder and hatred of your brother in your heart, to forgive your nastiness, to forgive your unbelief, to wash away your meanness, to redeem your lying, to take away your cheating, to forgive your coveting, your worldly ambition, your uncaring, your self-glory, when you stole, for harming others, your anger and malice, for adultery, for sexual immorality, for taking the Lord's name in vain, for dishonoring your parents, and look, lo and behold, what's last of all, forgive for ignorance. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Look at what God has done for you. His blood, His cross, His Son, Jesus Christ, has washed you of all your sins. There's not a spot, there's not a wrinkle, there's not a stain remaining to make you whiter than snow through Jesus Christ and His crimson blood. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also now forgive. You received without pay, you receive freely, give freely. God bless you all in the forgiveness and the amazing love of Christ.